Hello, everyone. Welcome back. So, a very warm welcome, please, to Luke Walker and Melissa McLean, the directors of the Arbor. So, maybe we could start off by maybe if you could contextualize like what Kenja means in Australia for us Canadians that don't have an equivalent, and maybe just talk about what your initial involvement was or what attracted you to investigating Kenja.
Yeah, we made this film straight after film school. We were looking for our next project, and I noticed this article on a group that had been facing 10 years of court cases, and it was just about to have to deal with a new one. And so I found out where they were, and they just happened to be up the road from where we were in Melbourne. And I went along and attended for a while, for about 6 months. And really, I was surprised at how innocuous it all seemed. Really, certainly I didn't believe what they believe, but you know, lots of people believe strange things, but then it worked for them, so what was the problem? Why don't we just let them get on with it, kind of thing? And that was really how we ended up structuring the film, was it was our thought process of trying to understand what was wrong with this picture, and that was really how it unfolded. That was how I came to be involved. And after about 6 months, I realised that there probably was a film in it, and that was when I stepped out, and Mel got involved. I realised that I'd kind of blown my impartiality. I couldn't approach them to make the documentary without them thinking it was going to be an advertisement for the group, and by exactly the same token, I couldn't really approach people who'd since left the group without them thinking exactly the same thing. So that was when Mel came in, and that was when the interviews began. And Kenja were very generous with letting us interview them. They were very honest and very open, as you can see. I don't think that they were happy with the final outcome, but I think that we did our best to let them tell their side of the story. I don't think we could have done more than that.
It was an unusual process to happen, but we felt it was the only way to do it fairly.
So how did it work? So you, like, how did you work together as co-directors on this if you stepped away and then you obviously did the majority or all of the interviews? So how did that work?
Because Luke had done a lot of the research, we were really, really good friends anyway, so we spent far, far too much time together just talking about it, and he was talking about this group, and he was saying, I've completely lost that impartial perspective. I don't know what to do from here, but I know that there's a story to be told, and the mainstream media, everything about Kenja in mainstream media just starts with cult Kenja or cult leader Ken Dyers, and it just seemed like, hello, come on, you don't even know what the group believe or what actually happens. So I think I just sent them a letter and said, do you mind having a chat with me? And I had a chat with Ken and Jan and ended up going to some lectures and talking to them. And I was always very upfront about that kind of process that we were going through. So Luke ended up, I guess, it was almost that classic sort of field director, and then you've got the director back at base camp going. So I would go out and do interviews and come back and say to Luke, oh, this is sort of what happened today. Do you, you know, can we talk about it? And he'd go through the footage and... yeah, so that's how we worked.
And okay, we have to talk about the amazing climax, sort of Ken revealing himself blow up scene. Were you surprised that at what you got, or were you surprised that suddenly Ken, who was very calm and sort of well spoken, just sort of blew up? Were you surprised that you got that sort of footage?
I was a little bit surprised, but it I had been told that Ken would confront people. So I guess I was not. It was not unexpected. However, I do remember getting very hot feet. Going, I'm starting to really sweat here. But I also really wanted to give him the opportunity to walk away, which is why I took the radio mic off him. Because he was kind of getting up and then sitting down, and I was like, well, okay, I'm taking the radio mic off. It's your choice. You can walk away from this. And it actually went for far longer. It went for 20 minutes. But then afterwards, he calmed down and we sat around and had a chat, and yeah, it was actually quite fine afterwards. It diffused quite quickly. So,
how can you explain that? Like, that's so much trust that they placed in you. Like, how did you establish that from, you know, your letter, your initial letter, that I'm sure they get lots of letters every day. Like, how did you go from there to establishing, like, a level of trust where they felt that they could, you know, get angry in front of you and then they would still calm down and still, you know, talk to you? It wasn't sort of like that bridge was burned. Like, how do you think that you were special in establishing that sort of intimate relationship with them?
I was very willing to put in the time. It probably took a year to make that film. So, and I went to all of the major events. I'm still keeping that line there. Like, I didn't go to anything that was a private function or anything like that. I always kept that. I felt that was really important because I didn't at any point want people who are involved with Kenja to think that we've got someone who will start to believe what we believe. I wanted to always maintain that impartiality. So it just took time and a real commitment to give every opportunity to show every part of Kenja, which they're incredibly generous with.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure you have lots of questions. Yeah, there's one there. Yeah, black shirt, I think.
Have you had a chance to read these flyers that were distributed prior to the film?
So the flyers that were distributed before the film, would you like to comment on those?
I haven't seen those particular flyers. I've seen similar ones before. Is there anything in the flyer that you'd like to ask me about?
Just a general comment to the allegations regarding the ethics of the filmmaking process.
So just generally about the claims that they make in the pamphlet about the unethical sort of treatment of Kenja or your filmmaking techniques being unobjective.
Yeah.
Well, it's difficult to comment because we haven't actually read the leaflet yet. I'll take a look. But I'm unsure. Does it say that we were unobjective? Yeah. Well,
that's conspiracy.
That's what happens when. I think that it's because this is two completely polarized worlds. The view from inside Kenja and the view outside are so completely polaric, but. I think that's the conclusion that's been drawn.
Yeah. Shades of grey are probably not something that Kenja deal with particularly well, unfortunately. There's a picture of me with particularly curly hair and a distressed expression saying fraud. Yeah.
Okay, more questions. So is there any sort of sexual component to Kenja, the movement of Kenja, and also a question about money, like donations and things like that?
Okay. My understanding is that you pay for each energy conversion session, an individual one, and you pay for a group energy conversion session. You also pay for each activity, meals, all of the different conference events. So it's more of a, you pay per event. You don't pay like a membership fee or anything. You pay for each thing you go to.
A lot or
My understanding is we've actually got a couple of people in the audience who could probably help us out there. I think the going rate is $80 for a one-on-one. Okay, it depends. It actually, they're very good if you can't afford it. I know that. Like the students, yeah.
And then I guess the sexual, like, do they have any sort of sexual beliefs or that are oftentimes associated with spiritual?
I never witnessed any sexual activity, fortunately or unfortunately. What we discovered during the filmmaking process was that this was something that happened probably about 10 years ago. It was like, as the man says, it was more of a phase that the group went through that they evolved out of.
That's not what I meant. I meant like, you know, Catholicism believes that you shouldn't be gay, or some groups believe you can't be transsexual or something. Does the group harbor any beliefs against certain sexual identities or sexual expressions, or are they just open to everything?
Did that ever come up? I remember in one of the interviews, Ken saying that at one point in one of the interviews, someone said that there was some fondling, some man on man fondling, and that was frowned upon, and they were told not to do that. And the reason that you come to Kenja is to get that out of your system. Like, you don't you get that out in the sessions. Like, you can process on that. And therefore it's unnecessary. So there was never any homophobia, if that's what you're asking. But it was considered that was something that you could process on. I remember that from one of the interviews. That was something that could be processed out, if it was within you. Yeah. But everything can be processed out, and you've got lots of things to process out.
The question was, can we talk a bit about Ken's anti-cult conspiracy theories, and particularly in relation to therapy? Ken and Kendra do believe that there was a group called Cultaware which came out of America and has now infiltrated Australia and all levels of bureaucracy, including the court system and the police system and me, apparently. And that relates to therapy as well. Ken doesn't believe in therapy. He believes that everything can be done through yourself, through processing on it. That's actually probably the single issue that I found most difficult to stay objective about, because I really struggled with this idea of casting people into the wilderness if they obviously needed therapy in some way, because therapy was just not acceptable. And drugs for like actual conditions were not accepted. So if you came to the group and didn't declare the fact that you were on drugs, which you were supposed to do, there's quite a strict process to go through to be involved, to even go through your first. They won't work with a lot of people. So really it does filter out most people. It's the people like Cornelia who kind of slip through, who seem to be fine, but there's all this latent stuff going on.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time. But I do see some extra hands, so I'm sure Luke and Melissa will be available for questions outside in the lobby, outside the theater. So thank you very much for coming. Thank you very much for being here.
We do have some people from Kenja, and they've flown a long way. So I think that if you want to say something, then please do.
You obviously
I'm really sorry that that's your perspective on this, because I actually contacted Jan through her personal numbers, and I did actually send a letter apologising about, giving my condolences for Ken's death before then. So the call on the actual day of the funeral was Ms. Meisterstech. I didn't know that was the day of the funeral. That was my error. I didn't know about that. But that was because by that stage I was thinking, I haven't heard from these guys. Maybe they're not getting the message. Because I'm calling the personal numbers, I'm going to call the centre directly. So I am really sorry about that. And as to releases, yes. I actually have releases on camera at all time from general people, and anyone who I specifically interviewed did sign one. Ken and Jan signed one. I actually have footage of me saying in front of you and everyone else that...